Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and grant that what they ask may be in accord with your gracious will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Martyrtide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God, for I have need.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God, for I have need.
Put not your trust in princes.
In the Son of Man,
when his breath departs, he returns to the earth.
On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them,
who means safe forever,
who executes justice for the oppressed,
who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless.
But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever.
Your God will sign to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God.
The reading from the letters is from the letter of St. James, the second chapter. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." This is the word of the Lord. St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord.
God from the Father.
mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The sermon is taken from the gospel reading. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it really is a privilege for me to be with you this Sunday. As Pastor Gregory mentioned, I am traveling around the country visiting congregations and individuals to create a support network of people and churches to partner with me in my work, to consider and to include me in their prayers, and also to support my work financially in the country of Italy. And as a pastor missionary through our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in preparation for my deployment to that country, there are many, many meetings about life overseas. Educational sessions with different topics, like moving to a new country, emergency evacuation, and lastly, medical care. And one of the options for health care, for medical care, available to us as international workers, and not only to us, but apparently is being made available to many people in the U.S., if not the world, is receiving medical care over Skype, over FaceTime, over the internet. No need to leave your home. No personal contact necessary, no touching. You don't need to worry about any germs or being exposed to any viruses. It can all be done digitally through the internet. Now, on one side, it can be conceded that this idea has its advantages, especially living in a foreign country, being able to speak to an American doctor, or even being able to keep your doctor, no matter where you live, certainly is an amazing thing. But on the other side, it must also be conceded that despite all of these advantages that there is in our society, our culture, our education, an incredible movement away from tangible, real things, things that you can touch. A frightening dynamic separating us from a real presence, an in-the-flesh relationship, an incarnational presence, to an artificial presence, a digital presence that can hardly be called a presence at all. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not what we see in our gospel reading for this Sunday. This is not what Jesus is all about in the 7th chapter of Mark. In this chapter, we see Jesus up close and personal, face to face with this man. Oh, sure. There are all sorts of ways that God in the past had communicated, had established a presence with his creation. The letter to the Hebrews in the opening verse reminds us of that. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. To Moses, God communicated by a burning bush. To Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God had sent many different messengers who should be considered pre-incarnate manifestations of the second person of the Trinity. After God rescued the Israelites from Egypt, he made his presence known by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. During those 40 years, his holy presence was in the tabernacle, located in the Holy of Holies. But don't get too close, or God's presence will kill you. There are all sorts of ways that God had communicated to his people by prophecy and vision and dreams. And many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But the verse continues, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And in our text for this Sunday, we see God infinitely closer than he ever had been before. We see the power of the incarnation. We see God taking on flesh and blood and bones. We see the second person of the Trinity getting personal with his creation, touching his creation, sticking his finger in the man's ear, even spitting on this man's tongue. So then, I suppose it begs the question of whether God could have done it another way. Could God have stayed up in heaven and beamed down his divine presence from the clouds? Did God have to become man? Must the second person of the Trinity be born of Mary? Does a father have to be with his son or daughter? Does a mother have to be with her child? Could you carry out your marriage over Skype? Could a pastor, this is something I think about a lot with my call to Italy, could a pastor be a shepherd to his flock over the internet? It's an interesting question, and to answer it, I invite you to think back to the initial illustration. Could a doctor heal over the internet? Could a physician fix something simply over Zoom or FaceTime? Well, I suppose it depends upon the seriousness of the disease, the gravity of the problem that the doctor is there to solve. If it's simply prescribing an antibiotic for some infection or giving some heart pressure medication, then sure, I could see how a doctor could practice medicine over the internet. But for a more serious problem, for a true emergency, in a life and death situation, you would need to have the doctor there. So whether or not it is necessary for the doctor to be present depends on the seriousness of the disease. And whether or not it is necessary for God to be present depends on the seriousness of our disease of sin. Brothers and sisters, God needs to be present. He needs to be born. He needs to be incarnate. To use the language of the text, he needs to stick his finger in your ear and spit on your tongue. The seriousness of the disease of sin requires it. You aren't just a little sick with sin. You don't just have a cold or a minor infection. You are dead in your sin. The condition of your disease is fatal. The sickness of sin will kill you. You need immediate personal care. You need God present in your life. As sinners, we need the incarnation. We need a physical connection with each other, and most importantly, with God. Sure, you might talk to your children or grandchildren over the internet from time to time, but you also need to be there in person to give them a hug and a kiss. Sure, on a business trip, you might for a time chat with your spouse over the internet, But marriage requires the physical connection of a husband and a wife. And sure, right now, the Lutheran Church of Italy is almost entirely online, as you will see in my presentation. Most of us connect through the internet and a weekly Saturday Zoom service, but that can't continue forever. It is entirely necessary that I go to that country to be their pastor in the flesh to those people in that place. It is necessary that I be there, and it is necessary for God to be there. The seriousness of sin requires it. The desperate nature of our condition demands it. Our salvation is so important to God that by nothing less than his incarnation would God choose to save you. Our salvation is so important to him that he personally carries it out. God himself took on flesh and blood and bones to go to the cross, to have that flesh ripped open, that blood poured out, and his bones torn out of joints. Could he have done it another way? He loves you so much that he had to do it that way. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his finger into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. This is how God acted then in our story, and this is how God acts today in our lives. He comes to us with his body and his blood in the bread and the wine. He comes to us in the waters of baptism. Yes, he speaks to us in his word, but let's never think of the word as some empty, hollow concept, in one ear, out the other. Jesus sticks his fleshy, bony finger in that man's ear, in both ears. Real things that you can see, hear, feel, and touch. God doesn't beam his presence from heaven. He doesn't project his forgiveness from the clouds. He chooses to be with us personally, bodily, and incarnationally for our salvation. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Before God's healing presence, his touch in our ear and on our tongue, we were trapped in silent darkness. But now that all of our sins have been washed away, our ears have been healed by his word and our tongue loosened by his body and blood, our whole being is refocused to him. Now all of our senses are refocused to him to gladly and lovingly serve him. And it is true that sin remains. It is true that we only see in part, we taste in part, we hear in part, we don't fully understand. But someday, brothers and sisters in Christ, all the veils will forever be removed. Just like they were for this man. When Christ returns, we will see things as they truly are. To forever taste, smell, and see the goodness of God, to forever proclaim the glory of God, who truly has all done all things well. In his name, amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in holy baptism, you have caused waters to break forth in the wilderness and made streams in the desert of this world. Open our eyes to this new life in Christ and our ears to hear your word. Free us to walk uprightly and loose our tongues to praise you for this treasure. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, look with favor on Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, seminarians Patrick Jackson, Jackson Schofield, and Vicar Ed Schneefloch, and Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, and seminarian Paul Hams. Blessing those who teach and those who learn, that your church might have true teachers and ministers of your word. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant your continual blessing to our LCMS missionaries in the Eurasia region, especially Reverend Tyler McMiller, Yanella and their family, Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio, and Reverend John Bombaro, Melinda and their family, that beloved sinners in Italy and throughout the region may know your grace in Christ, and that the good news of our Savior and his salvation would spread far and wide. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, create and sustain in us a lively faith in Christ Jesus, and lead us by your Spirit to be active in all good works. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, help parents to raise up their children to know you as their help and hope, that they may not put their trust in princes in whom there is no salvation. Have compassion on all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Abby LaBere and Kaylee Phelps. And by your grace, prepare Brian Moore and Shayla Murphy to make, honor, and keep their marriage vows until death. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless the students and families, teachers and staff, and school board of the Imago School in Maynard and of all private schools. And be with all homeschool families, that our children may flourish and learn to love whatever is just and true and good. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we place our hope in you and ask your blessing on our rulers and all who rule in this world, that their plans would be ordered for the welfare of those they govern, and that you would execute your justice for the oppressed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, behold graciously the sick and those in any need, including Rose's niece, Lori, Jenny's brother, Ted, and his wife, Sharon, Charles Bell, Kay Emmerich, Jackie Gordon, Carol, Chris, Colleen, Dan, Patty, and Josh, Gail and Jim, Melanie, Paula, Rachel, Zachary and his family, Diane Albert, Maura Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Barbara Bell, Amy Bennett, Ann Blaze, Jared Blaze, Carlene Breen, Brian Cormier, Pat Courtwright, Matt DeBara, and Ed Pinard. And look with mercy on all who mourn, especially Lois Doskosil and her family, Debbie Page and the family and friends mourning for her mother Phyllis, and the Clark family. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant that all who come to the Lord's Supper this day would do so in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of sins and in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking the form of a servant, being obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.
In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless me, the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.